Hello and welcome to Live Action Replay, recorded on the 19th of May. That's incorrect. It's actually the 23rd of 2018. This is your one-stop shop for all things esports from a distinctly Australian point of view. Do not set your calendar to us. Joining me this week are Adam and Joel. Joel, hello. How was Xenoblade?
Oh, yeah, you know, Xenoblade is good.
We did have to call you out on that last week because you ditched us.
No, yes. No, it was totally for assignments.
It was not.
It was definitely for assignments.
How much left have you got on your assignment then?
You know, it's just the research phase, so it's done.
Excellent.
It's just to learn, it's just to see if I'm actually there to be able to do the final stage.
Okay.
Which is the written side.
Now that we know that your assignment's done, you can give us...
the esports news. Over 127 million people tuned in to watch the mid-season Invitational for League of Legends this week. 127,551,726 people were found to be watching, according to Esports Charts, a website specialized in collecting data on esports and streams. Most spectators were found to be in China. The event has made it the most watched esports match in history. Heaton, manager for Ninjas in Pyjamas and advisor to Cube, and Potty, co-founder of Ninjas in Pyjamas, have joined forces to launch the Swedish Esports League. The league has been stated with the goal to create the same kind of framework for esports as for other youth sports activities. They want to create more local teams and to decrease the skill gap between pro and local teams. The first season is set to begin later this year, with trials beginning in August for each region. Nova Entertainment has announced a partnership with ESL, the world's largest esports company. The partnership comes in as a commercial arrangement whereby Nova will leverage its radio and digital platforms to promote ESL events to the public. They will also be exclusively representing and selling merchandise in the Australian market. Major sports and entertainment agency CSM have announced their partnership with global esports agency Code Red. The partnership will combine the wealth of esports experience and knowledge of Code Red with the global reach and strategy of CSM in order to offer a full-service esports offering. The partnership will allow Code Red to engage with a wider audience as well as a brand to grow the industry. Mobile developer Gamelinks has raised $1.2 million in order to create a more mobile games aimed at hardcore gamers. Backers have included Riot and Skycatcher Fund. Gamelinks has stated that they want to use the accessibility of mobile to diversify offerings for competitive players. DreamHack and ISDE, a Madrid-based business school, have partnered to offer programs at the school. The master's program in esports business will include models in team management, event production, and marketing. ESL, Wright, and Nielsen have also partnered for the program. Oculus and ESL are again partnering to bring about the VR Challenge League. The second season has been rebranded as the VR League and is offering $220,000 worth of prizes for competitors. The game roster includes Echo Combat, The Unspoken, and Sprint Vector, as well as undetermined titles. Overwatch Team Fusion were required to change their jerseys due to league managers ruling that their shirts towed the line of class. The shirts had FU printed across the front, standing for Fusion University, the team sponsor. The team ended up wearing plain black shirts for their match against Optic Academy.
Now for the MSI results. Adam, you've been following the MSI quite closely. This is the mid-season invitational that had the 127 million mm-hmm. viewers.
Yes. So I want to go through some of the matches last week before I get into the semis and finals.
Of course.
So I just want to highlight a few matches. So basically what the standings were is that first was RNG, Kingzone came second, Flash Wolves came third, and Fnatic ended up fourth. But there was a little bit of an interesting event that happened where somehow Team Liquid actually had to have a tiebreaker for fourth place against Fnatic. So Fnatic actually lost against EVOS Sports, which a lot of people thought wasn't going to happen. And then Team Liquid also beat Fnatic in the first match of that day. So it came down to the tiebreaker, who would make it into fourth, and Team Liquid unfortunately did lose.
So this is what you predicted to happen.
I did. I predicted exactly this. I said they would make it to the tiebreaker and then they would lose, as Americans do with these international events. They always choke, and they did. And then so in the semifinals, we had, I got to say that RNG as the first place gets to pick either third or fourth. And they picked fourth, which was Fnatic. But a lot of people... Oh, sorry. It was RNG, Flash Wolves, Kingzone, then Fnatic, because RNG was getting a lot of flack from the Chinese viewers because they actually picked Fnatic instead of Kingzone. Mm-hmm. Because obviously the Koreans are seen as the stronger team.
Yep.
A lot of fans were calling out Uzi and just the team in general that they were a little bit soft because they didn't want to go up against the Koreans in the semifinals and not the final.
But it's the tactic move, though.
It is. It's smart.
Yeah.
It is the smart move.
If the people that were giving them flack were in the exact same situation, they would have made the exact same choice.
Exactly. So that means that Royal went up against Fnatic and they beat them 3-0. But it was probably one of the closest 3-0 wins that I've seen. I think 3-0 doesn't really give it justice. I think Fnatic put up a hell of a fight. Mm-hmm. And even though the scoreline says 3-0, like realistically it's more like a 3-2 in my head. And then so we had Flash Wolves versus Kingzone Dragon. That was a little bit more one-sided with Kingzone coming across. And then the final was RNG versus Kingzone. So I had predicted last week on the show when I was talking to Mitch that RNG's win condition is oozing. Their AD carry. I said that if he can get going, then they're going to win. And if they can't get him fed, then he's going to lose. And I've got some statistics in front of me. So there's four stats that I want to focus on. So you've got KDA, you've got kill participation, you've got CSD at 15, which is basically what is your lead against the other laner at 15 minutes, how many CS ahead.
Yep.
And then you've got your team's damage percentage. So in game one, he went 0-0-4. For the KDA, game 3, 0-0-3, and game 4, 7-2-1, which, like, he just popped off. Like, that's amazing to me, that in competitive play, getting 7 kills each match and only dying 2 times in the series. Yeah. And even his kill participation, like, it's always over 60%, you know, like 78, 66, 61, which means that he's always involved in his team's plays. Yeah. And then even his CSD at 15, like, usually it's very close. But so in game 1, he had 10, game 3, 18, and then game 4 was 13. Mm. But to be that far ahead, only at 15 minutes, shows just how strong he is of a laner. And then we've got damage. This is a whopping stat. He's got 47%, 41, and 46, respectively. Which to me, like, that's 47% of your whole team's damage. Which just shows how much pressure they put on him to carry.
Exactly, yeah.
But he's gone and done it. So, obviously, it's a good tactic. People said that, you know, like, this tactic will work against the lower teams or the middle teams, but when they come against the Koreans, it's not going to work because Koreans play more overall as a team. But clearly, this style of putting all your resources into the one player worked.
Mm. It's still up, so if you did miss it live last week, you can pick it up and make sure you actually do watch it.
It was good games.
Yeah. I will be watching it to get myself a bit better at League. Moving on to the Overwatch League. Now, this, again, is the kickoff of Stage 4.
Yes.
So we're getting eerily close to the grand final of all of this, the Super Bowl of Overwatch, if you will.
Which is Stage 6.
Which is Stage 6. So there's a few games I do want to highlight here.
Oh, there's plenty of games.
If you have a look on your sheets, the bold clearly shows what I chose. Yeah. I had a bad week for who I thought was going to win. We had bloody Los Angeles Valiant get Seoul Dynasty down in a 2-3. We had
San Francisco Shocks against Seoul Dynasty, and San Francisco Shocks won 3-1.
Yes.
So Seoul Dynasty didn't win any games at all this first week.
They immediately choked.
What is going on with my team?
And this is the A-team that started off.
This makes me so ashamed.
They've had a break, they've trained, and these guys are getting swamped by mid-tier.
What do you think is going on? There has to be something.
There's got
to
be something.
Are they having, like, mental breakdowns or something?
They must. Probably. The second one, London Spitfire against New York Excelsior. New York Excelsior
won. We knew what was going to happen because they've never won.
But London Spitfire against Houston Outlaws.
That depressed me.
London Spitfire 4-0. 4-0. the top teams. What is happening?
Except for Excelsior.
Okay, Excelsior stays the same where it is. Mm. But London Spitfire, nothing in the first week. Soldanstey, nothing in the first week.
So are these top teams getting worse or the lower teams just getting better?
I think we're seeing the lower teams getting better. I think we're seeing the stragglers like the Gladiators and the Uprising and the Fusion all starting to find their feet and just start to understand how these bigger, better teams play. Mm. Or we, on paper, are better teams, but there clearly are flaws in how they play.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of luck involved as well, but that could be more towards positioning instead of, like, not luck, but like stuff that can control.
Luck has a minor position within the whole thing. The skill is the main factor point.
Yes.
But if someone is out of position for one thing and you do land a shot, like a quick shot for on Widowmaker, it is kind of luck in some way. But
I do want to point out that both games that Dragons had this week, they won a match.
They did.
So they against themselves, if you compare them to themselves, they're getting better.
Well, it goes to the whole thing where you're saying where the mid teams are getting better. So the lower teams are getting better. So eventually it'll slowly shift around a lot more.
They will shift around. And I'm keen to see how this continues. If you go over the page, there is actually some wonderful stats, again, from our people at Reddit who provide this to us every week. We can see that New York, London, and Boston are currently our top three across all stages.
I can see as well there the win streak that was on, was it Boston?
Yeah.
Has been
completely demolished. Yes. Now, Boston and London are both on a 2-streak loss. New York is still on a 9-win streak, which is just amazing. Mm-hmm. Just well done, guys. And Shanghai Dragons are on a 32-game loss streak.
I did want to ask, do we want to make predictions on how many losses it's going to take before they win?
I want to go 35.
35?
I want to go 35.
I think they won't get a single win up until Stage 6.
I don't think they're going to be allowed to play in Stage 6.
Exactly. I don't think they're going to get the win at all.
So how many losses would that be? How many more games do they have to play?
They've got another 6 weeks of this, so this is their second week coming up.
And it'll be the semifinals in Stage 5.
Yep.
Where we see what all the actual rankings of everyone's
stage
numbers.
Stage 5's, I believe, 2 weeks where they make sure that everyone's versed each other an equal number of times.
Yeah.
That's all it's for. Okay. And then they go into the final standings. So there's no way that Dragons are making it to finals. At this point, I'd say there's no way that even Florida is going to make it to finals.
No.
Dallas might surprise us. I don't know. They're currently on a 1-1, as is Shock, but everyone else is just...
Yeah.
They're getting swamped. Keen to see how these mid-tier teams go. We've actually got Seoul Dynasty are 6th on the total ladder.
They're falling.
They're falling hard.
They
are falling. We've got Boston and Houston and Valiant above them.
Can we even call them a top-tier team anymore?
Well, I mean,
I don't think you can.
I don't think you can. You just assumed that the Koreans were going to be the top-tier team, so have been moving through that. But no, they're officially mid-tier.
If they've started off this bad in the first week of Stage 4...
Mm. They've already tilted.
They are tilted. They are done. So I feel like they might not even make it to the final stage if they keep dropping down and keep these losses going.
I reckon if I was them, I would have next week be their B team and really train their A team back up.
Yeah.
Because we've seen what happens with their B team. They can stomach some losses.
Yeah.
And if we can see the A team pull back through, we'll have that rest that they obviously need, and then they can come back in and start winning some games.
Because if Philadelphia Fusions and Gladiators, if they get a couple more wins, they will overtake Seoul Dynasty.
Yeah. They're not far off.
No, they're not.
Absolutely terrifying. Coming up, now that MSI is over, we do have a bit more of a break from League of Legends. So this week is only Overwatch. Thursday from 9 to 1, Friday from 9 to 1, Saturday from 9 to 1, and Sunday from 6 till 10, Australian Eastern Standard Time. Now, there are a few games I do want to highlight, again, because you want to see these rivalries come through. We have Seoul Dynasty versus New York Excelsior on Saturday, which I think, obviously, New York is going to win.
And
but this is the team that New York was like, if Seoul Dynasty doesn't keep... If they keep playing like Seoul Dynasty, they're going to lose. And what keeps happening?
And the second match this week Seoul Dynasty is against is London Spitfire.
Exactly. We've got the original top three.
Exactly.
And we're going to see how
Seoul Dynasty lost the
out.
Middle team. Are they going to win against the you know, what was top teams?
Here is hoping. I also do want to point out the Shanghai Dragons versus Philadelphia Fusion.
I see that you've picked the Dragons for this win.
Yes, because the last few games that they've played have all been 2-3.
Okay.
Two Philadelphia Fusion. So they're close.
Yep.
But not close enough.
But you think they could do it this week?
I'm hoping. Okay. I'm hoping they can do it this week.
I'm with you. I hope they do, but I still don't think they will.
No, I don't think they will. I think the next time we're going to see them win is when they're up against Mayhem, I would say. Which is probably the most likely chance of them winning. But that's completely fine. Again, you just don't want to miss out on the any of the Excelsior games or any of the Uprising games, because they are still getting better and better as we go along. And now into sweet merch.
You actually called it sweet merch.
I have called it sweet merch. Each week we highlight weird and wonderful things you can buy to deck yourself out and put on your body to represent your favorite team. This week we have Immortals K-Swiss sneakers. K-Swiss, the team, and Team Immortals are partnering to develop a sneaker specifically for esports. E-Swiss will be launching the Immortals' very own sneaker, which will go on sale in December. K-Swiss designers say that spending time with players of Immortals in order to analyze their playstyles and behavior while developing the sneaker. They have particularly spoken about gamers' feet getting hot and need to cool them. So far, the sneaker will act more like a sock and provide extra cushioning and will have mesh layering for cooling purposes.
This just seems so silly.
It does.
It's hilarious. We've officially got specific footwear for a sport that doesn't require movement.
Yeah.
You're a video gamer. You play on the computer. What do you need? You need shoes.
You need shoes.
That are designed like socks.
Because your feet get hot.
Wow.
Your feet get hot? Yeah.
Do your feet get hot when you play League of Legends?
Well, see, here's the thing, is that I feel like for the majority of people, you're not going to be wearing shoes if you're gaming. I feel like it's only really a competitive thing where they have to wear shoes onto the stage.
You know what I mean? That's an excellent point.
Yeah.
If I'm at home, I'm not wearing shoes. Yeah.
But even then, you're sitting down the entire time. I suppose the only time they're up is just to come out
walk
on stage
onto the
and walk
stage.
Off.
Yeah.
And just flip your shoes off.
Unless the type of players are like, they're ruffling their feet up and down, like, oh, come on.
But
come
even
on.
Then,
maybe they are. I've never seen the legs of an esports player.
Because they did say they've designed it, analyzing based on how they play.
Yeah. How that specific team plays, yeah.
Yes.
I don't know.
I assume people would just get these, not so much for the esports reason, but more just to support their team, more or less.
I agree. Yeah. I wouldn't mind getting a pair just to see what they're like.
Yeah.
It might be fun, but if it's most likely going to be $150 US.
They're going to be expensive.
Yeah, not happening.
They're a good pair of shoes. I'd definitely probably get one.
Well, they're not, by the sound of it, they're not designed for walking.
They're designed for gaming.
Yeah.
Just for sitting in.
Yeah. So just buy slippers, guys. Just buy slippers. That's it from us here at Live Action Replay this week. Make sure that if you like what we're doing, to let us know via an iTunes review, tweet at us at LAR_podcast, or find us on the Live Action Replay Facebook page. You can also join our Discord at tinyurl.com/replaydiscord, along with our sister show, Replay. If you are interested in general gaming topics, make sure you listen to that show and subscribe to that, as well as get your friend's phone and subscribe to this one. Thanks, everyone. We'll see you next week.